Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you all today. Before I start, I want to say last week was camp, and some of you went to camp. Did you guys have fun? I know there's only two. King, Ellie, you guys have fun? What was your favorite part, Ellie? No? Okay, that's great. And good news, we heard that Aubrey Hall was baptized, and that's Dustin and Julie's niece. Some of you might know Shane. But also there was someone else baptized, so there were at least two people at camp who are now our brothers and sisters in Christ, and that is a great reason to rejoice. But before we move on, I actually want to brag a little bit on some people. I want to brag on Dustin and Julie and Amber, who went to camp the whole week. And how do you guys stay positive all week? You guys are amazing. And those kids are so much better off because you decided to do what Paul talks about when he says he watered and Paulus planted, or maybe I have it backward, but God gives growth. You guys are amazing. And we are so glad that you guys are working to help the youth, because if we have any hope at surviving as a body in Christ, is that we have to continue to pass on to the next generation. And with that being said, we need volunteers to be teachers, and we need volunteers to help out with DBS. Please consider donating a little bit of your time, because these people, Dustin, Julie, Amber, Coe, and I know I'm... Regina, they are putting a lot of time. This is basically all their church time is dedicated to helping the youth. And we want them to have help because we care about the next generation. So please stay after worship today to help out with DBS, or consider volunteering your time to teach the youth so they can have a break as well. I actually want to do something new today. So I want to, before we get started, I want to go to God in prayer. So let's do that. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are to us. We thank you for our wonderful teachers. We thank you for everything you do. But most importantly, Lord, we thank you for your Son Jesus, for why we can come today and worship and fellowship with one another. In him we find grace and happiness and joy. We give thanks for everything you do. In your most heavenly name we pray. Amen. All right. Today, we're going to talk about a character, or a man. I think man is a better term, who I know every single one of you are probably familiar with, because he is mentioned in conjunction with the single most popular Bible verse. Probably one of the very first Bible verses you all learned. And that man... name is Nicodemus. Has anybody in here not heard of Nicodemus? Okay, that's fine. It's good. If you've not heard of Nicodemus, that is okay. It means you're learning, and that's always good. Nicodemus is a very interesting person in the Bible because he's only mentioned in the book of John. Now, why is that? There are four Gospels. Why is there only one Gospel that mentions Nicodemus? Well, I honestly don't know. I can tell you, I think it's because John had a personal relationship with Nicodemus. But frankly, the text doesn't tell us. History doesn't tell us. But we do know when we read about Nicodemus, we read about Nicodemus in three parts of the Bible, and that's the three parts that were read today. John chapter 3, John chapter 7, and John chapter 19 all mention this character. And in each of these sections, Nicodemus does something, or at least tries to do something. In chapter 3, he tries to hear Jesus. In chapter 7, he tries to help Jesus. In chapter 7, he tries to honor Jesus. And that's very, very interesting with his character, because what that results, whether his actions are successful or not, he's still someone important worth talking about. Now, Nicodemus. What do we know about Nicodemus? Well, he's a man. Yes, that much is obvious. But the text also says he's a Pharisee. Chapter 7 gives you the impression that he was a member of the Sanhedrin, probably an inner court, maybe even one of the people that was there when Jesus was tried. He was a ruler of the Jews, as Jesus says in John chapter 3. And John chapter 19 indicates that he might have been very, very wealthy because he buys 75 pounds of perfume and aloe. And in that time, that would not have been cheap. It would have been quite expensive. In fact, there's a woman who pours perfume on Jesus' feet, and Judas says, that money could have been used to help the poor, meaning that it was worth a lot of money. So this is, again, we see that this is something that's not cheap, so Nicodemus was probably wealthy. But there's one thing that I am pretty certain, well, I got weird feedback there, pretty certain about Nicodemus, but he was probably a bit of a coward. And we get this because the very second thing that we learn about Nicodemus, besides him being a Pharisee, is that he came to Jesus by night. Now, some of you might say, well, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, John has this interesting thing in his gospel. John quite clearly uses darkness and light as contrast and opposites. And typically when we see night used, it's used in this way, it's used for nefarious purposes. Now, Nicodemus is not a nefarious person, but he definitely has something to hide. Well, why does he have something to hide? Because he's a religious leader talking to Jesus. And you might think, well, that's not so bad. Well, if you've been listening to what I've been saying for the last, I don't know, 16 weeks, we've been at this a while, you definitely know that the religious leaders didn't really talk to Jesus. Unless they were accusing him or yelling at him or trying to seek his arrest or death. So he's kind of a bit of a coward. And I honestly can't blame him because he goes on to say in the next verse this, and I'm going to come back to the other point. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. So whatever the reason that he's doing it, he might be wrong at what he's doing, but he's certainly doing it for the right reasons because he wants to seek truth. He sees Jesus, he sees who he is, and he wants to seek truth. Do we do wrong things for the right reasons? Sometimes, I wonder if they're necessary. When I was in China, someone I was in China with, he told me this story. And I have to wonder if this story is true because of how crazy it sounds to me. Is in China, sometimes you'll walk by a shop, and in the shop, there'll be a woman sitting on a chair. And that's all you will see in the shop. Now, everybody knows what that shop is. But nobody talks about it. My friend told me that some of his colleagues that he knew about would go to these shops and they would pay to get in these shops. And they would take their Bibles and they would talk to these women. They would pay to talk to these women because they said it was the only way that they would be able to talk to these women. And to me, I'm like, but you know other people are watching. You know other people are just, they don't know what you're doing. They're seeing you going into the shop to talk to the woman. And he goes, yes, but sometimes you have to do the wrong thing for the right reasons. And so Nicodemus, in his situation, goes to Jesus because he sees that he has to go to Jesus. But he also realizes where he's at in his life, that he can't publicly go to Jesus. And so he goes to Jesus by night to hear what Jesus has to say. And I know all of you are very, very well familiar, well, most of you are very familiar with chapter 3 of John. And so these are the six things that Jesus tells him. It says, you have to see the kingdom, if you want to see the kingdom of God, you have to be born again. You have to be born of water and spirit. I know this because I testify these things, because God has sent me, that the Son of Man has to die, that for you to have eternal life, He has to die, and that God sent Him to die. So you can sum up all of chapter 3 in these six things. And they're kind of redundant, as you can see right here. Now, Nicodemus is very confused. And I know he's confused because of what he has to say. And Jesus Himself recognizes that Nicodemus is confused because He says, "You don't understand." He says, "Are you a teacher of Israel and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, we bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony." So he's confused. But he's seen Jesus. He sees these signs. He recognizes that He must come from God. But it doesn't make any sense to him. And frankly, I don't know if he can understand. And if he can't understand, it's probably because of one or all or a combination of these five things. God's plan has not been revealed. Not at this point yet. Or maybe he's caught up in his own theology. Wait a second, you're talking about God. I know God. I have studied God my whole life. And this is nothing like I have ever heard before. Now, he understood the concept of baptism, but Jews use baptism for purification, not to be born again. And so when he says that you have to be born again, he's thinking that you literally have to be born again. And that on the surface seems illogical and crazy. Or maybe he just doesn't have faith. Or maybe he knows that if he goes and he tells his friends about this, they're gonna start treating him the way that we see other people are treated because they believe in Jesus. Or maybe he'll lose his job. Or maybe he'll be outcasted and thrown out of the temple. Or, maybe he'll be killed. We don't know. But we certainly know that this has happened to people because they follow Jesus. And so when we look at everything that happens here in Nicodemus' reaction to what Jesus is saying, Jesus has a choice. Sorry, not Jesus. Nicodemus has a choice. He can either accept it or he can reject it. Which one does he do? Well, the text doesn't tell us which one he does. But I know he failed. And let me tell you why I know he does not accept it. At least not at this time. It's because in every instance of the Gospel of John where the truth is accepted, John says so. Everyone. It says, "And they believed." So many times it uses that phrase in the Gospel of John. But it does not use that phrase here. Why would John, who probably has a close relationship with Nicodemus, not choose to say that important thing? Because it didn't happen. And so, he failed. And the reality is, this is one of the same reasons he failed, or the same reasons we fail. It's because we get caught up in our own theology. We think we know what the Bible is saying. And we want it to say that because we think it is saying that. Or maybe because we lack faith. Or maybe because we realize we are going to suffer real world consequences. Our family is going to isolate us. We might lose our job. Whatever. I don't know what it's going to be because it's going to be unique to you if it happens. Or maybe, this concept of being born again really does sound illogical and crazy. I heard something a while ago that to a non-believer, the gospel is foolish. And it certainly sounds like it. Or as Paul says, we are fools for Christ. But he goes on and he says, Jesus closes this argument in chapter 3 by saying this, "And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed." So he basically sums up right here why Nicodemus is failing. Not necessarily because Nicodemus is a bad person, but because he's not willing to walk in the light. But Nicodemus, gets another chance. In fact, this is the reason I'm convinced that Nicodemus is a friend from John, because nobody could have known of this next part except for Nicodemus and the other religious leaders themselves. Because this took place away from Jesus, away from the disciples, in a private meeting. And so this is chapter 7. They're seeking to arrest Jesus, and they send officers to arrest Jesus. And Jesus, you know, Jesus is very good. He kind of talks his way out of it. And for lack of a better term. So there's all this debate about who Jesus is, who's the Christ, and the officers go back empty-handed, and the religious leaders, they berate the officers. You couldn't catch this guy? Can we trust you to do your job? But Nicodemus decides to help Jesus by standing up for Jesus, and he says something which I think would make Nicodemus a great lawyer. And he says, "Does our law judge a man without first giving him a hearing and learning what he does?" This is very political. Because we don't know how Nicodemus truly feels about Jesus at this point. We don't know if Nicodemus likes Jesus. We don't know if Nicodemus is just trying to do the right thing. But he gives this answer to try to stand up for him. But eventually, the religious leaders come back to him and they say, "Are you from Galilee too? Search and see that no prophet arises from Galilee." This is a way to squash him, put him down, to intimidate fear. "We're not going to deal with this. Don't give me your logic or your facts. I don't care about that." And so fear and peer pressure get to Nicodemus. And maybe because we know they're going to be cast out. 2 chapters later, people are being cast out. Because to some people, the truth doesn't matter. Or to some, perception and reputation are everything. But again, the text fails to mention that thing that John says so eloquently to everyone else who learned the truth. It doesn't say he believed. It doesn't tell us anything. Just, this is what happened. And so I think Nicodemus fails again. He fails to help Jesus. Fails to listen. Fails to help. Does he honor Jesus? Chapter 19, Jesus has been crucified. Dies on the cross. And so 2 men come to help Jesus. To honor Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. One asks for the body, the other one buys this expensive perfume. Both acts are seen as honor and respect. Did Nicodemus fail here? He certainly honored Jesus. Yes, he did. And the thing about this particular act is it's a very public act. Everyone was watching what was going to happen. We know they put guards outside of Jesus' tomb. So it's not like Nicodemus could have done this thing in private. He would have to go and publicly buy these things and take them to a very public area where Roman soldiers are watching, and probably even some of his own peers were watching to do this. And I've heard a lot of preachers say, this proved that Nicodemus is a Christian. Well, no, it doesn't, because it's still lacking those words that he believed. It certainly proves that he didn't care what the perceptions were anymore. But it does not necessarily prove he believed. And we don't know if he believed. Nowhere outside the Bible is Nicodemus mentioned. Some people... I don't know if you guys have heard of Josephus, but Josephus was a Roman historian. And Josephus writes about a religious leader at this time named Nicodemus who tried to keep peace. But he does not mention him as a Christian. So we don't know if this person was Nicodemus. But we do do know that John decided to include Nicodemus for a very, very good reason. And that is the same reason he wrote about every single thing. So in the very last verse, it says, "These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." That is why we know the story of Nicodemus. And so that we can have life in His Jesus' name. I should clarify that. That could have been really confusing. So whether or not Nicodemus became a Christian is irrelevant to us. But his story is certainly relevant. Because it is through his story that we get to learn more about who Jesus is. And what he did for us. And that in his chapter, chapter 3, we see probably the biggest sum of our theology. That God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That you could believe in him and have eternal life. And that's the... You want to have eternal life? Believe in God. Be baptized in His name. If that's something we can help you with, please come forward. Or if there's something else that we could do for you, please let us know as we stand and sing this song.